ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। कृष्ण टुडे मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 19 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड किंग ययाति अचीव्स लिबरेशन टेक्स्ट नंबर 3। बस्त एको वने कश्चेद् विचिन्वन् प्रियमात्मनः ददर्श कूपे पतितां स्वकर्मा वशगाम अजाम। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील श्री भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। ट्रांसलेशन। While wandering in the forest, eating to satisfy his senses, a he-goat by chance approached a well, in which he saw a she-goat standing helplessly, having fallen into it by the influence of the results of fruitive activities. Purport. Here, Maharaj Yayati compares himself to a he-goat and Devyani to a she-goat and describes the nature of man and woman. Like a he-goat, a man searches for sense gratification, wandering here and there, and a woman without the shelter of a man or husband is like a she-goat that has fallen into a well. Without being cared for by a man, a woman cannot be happy. Indeed, she is just like a she-goat that has fallen into a well and is struggling for existence. Therefore, a woman must take shelter of her father, as Devyani did when under the care of Shukracharya, and then the father must give the daughter in charity to a suitable man, or a suitable man should help the woman by placing her under the care of her husband. This is shown vividly by the life of Devyani. When King Ayati delivered Devyani from the well, she felt great relief and requested Ayati to accept her as his wife. But when Maharaj Ayati accepted Devyani, he became too attached and had sex life, not only with her, but with others like Sharmista. Yet still he was dissatisfied. Therefore, one should retire by force from such family life as Ayati's. When one is fully convinced of the degrading nature of worldly family life, one should completely renounce this way of life, take sannyas, and engage himself fully in the service of the Lord. Then one's life will be successful. Hare Krishna. I would like to beg permission from His Grace Srinadji Prabhu, Saidev Prabhu, and all the assembled Vaishnavas here. Before we discuss this very important chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, actually this chapter, King Ayati achieving liberation, where he is getting frustrated with sex life, this is a chapter which devotees love to hear because it's hardcore Krishna consciousness, condemning sense gratification. But nobody likes to speak on this chapter for obvious reasons. But since it's a service, I would like to speak something for my own purification. So here in this chapter, King Ayati's frustrations are coming out through the form of actually realizations. Because he enjoyed sex life in this material world for many years. And finally, he was realizing that he's not getting any happiness. He was getting disgusted. And then, out of his disgust, he's telling his wife Devyani a story which he himself devised. You know, he himself created one story. And this story is corresponding to his own life. So Maharaj Ayati says that there was a he-goat and he got attracted to a she-goat. Basically what he's talking about is his own life. He compares himself to a goat and his wife to a she-goat. So he says the she-goat was in the well and he protected that she-goat, and then the she-goat, he got married to her, but then the he-goat enjoyed with some other she-goats. So the she-goat went to her Brahmin keeper and he cursed the he-goat and deprived him of all his sexual prowess. So like that, basically he's talking about his own story. How sex life is miserable, and then this is the essence of this chapter, is realization that material life of sense gratification is abominable. That is the essence of this chapter, and he finally, basically he's telling all of us that how we should not lead a life centered around sense gratification. So this is the highlight of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam discusses openly those subject matters which we would hesitate to talk about. Bhagavatam exposes the harsh realities of this world, the challenges for a sadhaka, a sincere devotee. And Srimad Bhagavatam emphatically asserts that a life centered around sense gratification, especially illicit sex life, destroys all good intelligence, the power of discrimination, and takes us further away from Krishna. And in the subsequent verses, Yayati will give a very famous analogy which we always quote about butter and fire. Our woman is like fire, man is like butter, and if the butter and fire come together, the butter has to melt. So this is the highlight of Srimad Bhagavatam, that lust is deadly, lust is dangerous, and this is being emphasized in today's verse also. But unfortunately, in today's society, the terminologies have changed. Crass greed, you know, people are want a lot of greed for wealth. That is called as ambition. It's given a good term. And lust is called as love. And open rebellion against God is called as freedom, freedom of speech. So basically, it's a topsy-turvy world. It's a messy world where things which Bhagavatam condemns is glorified. In fact, Maharaj Yayati's story is supposed to shake us. But as Radhana Swami Maharaj was saying, if this story is picked up by some television producer, this will become the biggest soap opera, become the biggest show. But that is not the goal. The goal is Bhagavatam wants to expose us through these pastimes, through these stories, that how sex life, which is illicit, and lust is the biggest distraction. The ravaging lust as the whole human society in its vicious grip. And people have given up spiritual life because of this. So what exactly is this lust? Simple words, lust basically means I am the enjoyer. Everything is for me. It is basically selfishness. And as opposed to this, love means service. So when we are cultivating this enjoyer tendency and always thinking how I can get what I want when I want, then sex life is incidental. It's a natural byproduct of a life which is centered around these kind of thought processes, that I want to enjoy. I want it. Prabhupada said three words, I like it. That is the essence of material life. And that's why we have this enjoyer tendency. So when we lead a life centered around service, because service is intrinsic nature of the human being. Everybody is serving. If you are not serving Krishna, we are serving someone. We are serving our senses. So when we serve Krishna, then this enjoyer tendency slowly dissolves. And sometimes devotees get frustrated with this anartha, which keeps attacking the devotees again and again. But we should take hope that this is not our unique problem. Sex life was not discovered in the 20th century. It's an age-old phenomenon. Our parents, grandparents, ancestors, for millions of years have encountered this phenomenon. And our future generations, children, our grandchildren, in fact, our grandchildren may teach us a lesson or two on this subject matter nowadays. So this is a crazy phenomenon. It has the whole world in its grip. So sincere spiritual practitioners, they are also struggling with the different anarthas, and this is one of the formidable anarthas. And a devotee, although he may not idolize this phenomenon, he may not idolize lust, but still, as sadhakas, we have to reckon with the embarrassing presence of this lust in our consciousness. And we have to deal with it. And this phenomenon starts at the age of puberty. And now, because of the movies, internet and television, this is glamorized and this is glorified. And the whole world is going crazy. Some years back, we were in a program, and after the program, a young boy came to me and he said, Prabhuji, please bless me. Tomorrow, I'm running away with my girlfriend and we're getting married. And he looked at me very young. I asked him, how old are you? He said, I'm 16 years old. I said, it is illegal. He said, but Prabhuji, I have to marry her because her parents are getting her married to someone else. So we have no choice. I have to get married to her. I said, not only it is illegal, also secondly, you are 16 years old. This is a natural adolescent infatuation. You will get over it. He said, no, this is love. This is not infatuation. Our relationship has been since the second standard. So it's so we've been together. So I'm not exaggerating. I'm being very honest. So I was like shaken by the whole thing. And he's from a nice Marwadi family, middle class family. So I told him, I was like trying to figure out the whole thing. So I said, but what about your career? You know, you need to work and you seem to be from a good family. If you run away with her, I said, why don't you wait for some years? He said, our parents have come to know, for they are stopping us, and you know, typical stories that we've heard of. So I said, why don't you, what about your career? He said, I'll get a job as a waiter in a restaurant. I said, wow, that's like, requires a lot of guts, you know, to do something like that. I said, this is crazy what you're doing. But I was trying to be sensitive. And then finally I told him, you know, you may hurt your parents, because he's from an Orthodox family. So he said, better, you know, I want to sacrifice the world for her, for true love. Love ke liye kuch bhi karega, he said. So when he was speaking, I was feeling I've heard all these dialogues somewhere, you know. it was sounding very familiar. So this is the typical what a Bollywood hero speaks. And so this, so basically young generation is already a victim of this massive propaganda. And I'm not saying the devotees are, you know, we have a holier than thou attitude and we condemn these boys and girls. No, it's not like that. But the advantage of a devotee, if he's sincerely practicing Krishna consciousness, the advantage is these natural adolescent things that happen in the body, a devotee can maturely and soberly with a cool head cope with this, you know. We have to cope with this. This is an anartha, and we have to learn how to cope, how to deal with this anartha. So that sobriety is required, rather than just allow, you know, you go yourself crazy or bonkers. So one has to know that it is an anartha and have to deal with it. So it's a very important point. And in simple words, lust means when we start looking at another, the object of the opposite sex, instead of the person, we start looking at that person as a, not as a person, but as a thing. A thing, that thing which can satisfy me. So when the consciousness changes from person to thing, that is called as lust. So there is a saying that we should love people and use things. But in this world, people love things and they use people. So in a sense, this is simple words, this is lust. And there was this famous heartthrob of the 1960s. Most of you must have heard of her, Marilyn Monroe. And she was called as a sex symbol. And she was called as the most beautiful woman to have ever graced planet Earth. And when she was asked, how do you feel? You know, people love you. Everybody adores you. The whole world is your fan. You know what she said? A very famous statement. She said, I hate being a thing. And symbol, a sex symbol. Symbol means a thing. So this is the way this world is designed. And everywhere outside, this is glorified. And if we talk about this concept of lust and how it is detrimental to our spiritual progress, people will be shocked. They will think we are abnormal and we need psychiatric help. Srila Prabhupada speaks about one very famous author, very famous in the 1950s, very world famous. He has written so many books. He even got a Nobel Prize for his literature. And when he got tuberculosis and doctors told him, your life is finished. You can't have sex life anymore. Acute TB. He got so depressed, he committed suicide. Srila Prabhupada gives his example of how people cannot conceive of a life without this. So now let us discuss, how does a devotee cope with this anartha? Because that is the essence of this chapter. This anartha is being described. So we'll discuss that. Basically, there are two extremes in which a devotee may fall into. One extreme is, oh, so depressing. Lust is so depressing. And because of this depression, he basically, he resigns himself that it's futile to overcome this anartha. I'm sorry, I cannot overcome this anartha, and he's depressed. And the other extreme is to say, what to do? Lust is everywhere and everyone is afflicted by it. So justify it. And we land up watching movies and compromising on all the principles of Krishna consciousness, because what to do, you know, this will not go. Actually, both are extreme reactions. The ideal thing a devotee does is he turns to Krishna for help, shelter. And it is this aspiration for Krishna's mercy that helps us cope with this anartha. So Krishna's, when we are aspiring for Krishna's grace, then we can tolerate this anartha. Because this anartha will not go just like that. Prak sharira vimokshanat, Krishna says in the Gita, we have to struggle till our last breath. So we may struggle, but as we are struggling in our Krishna consciousness, we are constantly aspiring to rid ourselves of anartha that pleases Krishna. And then Krishna showers his grace. There is one, one story of one Mataji, Gauri Mataji, from, she is Prabhupada's disciple. Jagattarini Mataji told us this story when we were in Govardhan last year. So she was saying that how one of her god sisters, Gauri Mataji, she was a prolific book distributor and she was diagnosed with cancer. So she came back to Vrindavan to leave her body and doctor said, you may not die because you may still have some more time. So she went back to Los Angeles and she distributed a lot of books. And eventually when she came to die, when she came to leave her body, she came to Vrindavan and all her god sisters and god brothers were surrounding her and doing kirtan. And then Jagatarani Mataji held her hand and said, Gauri, now you are going back to Krishna. Do you have any desire, any material desire? It's not good. If you have a material desire, you know, you have to come back to this material world. Do you have anything in your heart? And she said, Jagatarani Mataji, for so many years I was in Los Angeles temple. And there, we have the Govinda's restaurant. This is just when she's before she's dying, huh? And that Govinda restaurant, there is a special kind of cheese they serve on the pizzas. I want that cheese. And then she paused. She said, but if because of this cheese, I have to come back to this material world, then this material world is not worth it. I don't want it. So Jagatarani Mataji said, this aspiration of her fetched her a ticket. Back home, back to Godhead. So she was struggling with it. And she was telling, I don't want this. Like another devotee was leaving his body at Radhakund. All devotees were there, the holy banks of Radhakund. And he was dying. And one very senior sannyasi told him, you are leaving your body, you want something now? I want Sprite. And then he said, but I want Krishna, but I'm attracted to this. So another devotee, Indradhamna Maharaj's lady disciple, she was leaving her body. She was a young girl, very sincere, initiated devotee. And she was leaving her body. Maharaj came to her and he said, you are leaving your body now. And is there anything you have in your desire, in your heart? Give it up, give it up. She said, Maharaj, Guru Maharaj, I want a tomato. So when I was hearing these examples, but of course, then she said, I want Krishna's mercy. I want your mercy, Maharaj. But this is what is keeping me back, you know. So what a devotee. Devotee may tell Krishna, Krishna, I want a tomato, but I don't want a desire to have a tomato, you know. I may want sense gratification, but I don't want to have the desire for having sense gratification. That is our, that qualifies us to get Krishna's mercy. Not that we'll be rid of anarthas. Like Prabhupada said, if you have a desire even for a gulab jamun, you have to come back to the material world. One gulab jamun can get us back to material world. So that can be very scary. So what this means is our aspiration is I don't want sense gratification. I don't want this Krishna. Actually, I remember when I mentioned these examples in one class, one devotee spontaneously exclaimed, he said, wow, what advanced devotees, you know, they are only desiring pizza and tomato. Because we don't know what, definitely our desires could be more than a simple cheese or a Sprite. But Krishna is merciful. Krishna is very merciful. He's not a sadist waiting for us to condemn us to hell. You know, I cast you into hell. Krishna is not waiting for us to make a small mistake in our spiritual life. Let me catch him. Oh, he has lust. He has that lust. Catch him. Put him in hell. No, Krishna is not like that. Krishna is checking our aspiration. What is our desire? So that aspiration is in our hands. That is in our circle of influence. We can do something about it. And because Krishna is kind, he wants us to aspire for pure devotional service. And we can aspire, we can, because one of the questions many devotees ask is how to develop this aspiration. How can I actually develop this mood of not wanting sense gratification, not wanting lust to haunt me? How can I develop pure aspirations? Now this comes through a culture of a package of hearing, chanting and service attitude. HSC, you know, we have studied SSC, HSC. Hearing, service, chanting. Simple. Actually, Krishna consciousness is very simple. If you are constantly hearing lectures, chanting the holy names and rendering service, then even though we may be afflicted by this anartha, our consciousness gets purified and we aspire for pure devotional service. Tada rajas tamo bhava kama lobada yaschaye cheta ete anaviddham sthitam sattve prasidati. Constantly hearing about Krishna, the rajas, the lust, passion and tamo, ignorance, mode of ignorance, it gets vanquished. Tada rajas tamo bhava kama lobha, greed and lust is what is afflicting our hearts. Cheta ete anaviddham sthitam sattve prasidati. Our consciousness gets purified. For this is there in the scriptures, attraction to Krishna starts growing. Shrinvatam sakata Krishna punya shravana kirtana hridayantastoya bhadrani vidunoti suhursatam. If you are constantly hearing about Krishna through Bhagavatam classes, shrinvatam shravana kirtana, then hridayantastoya abhadrani, all the abhadras, all the unwanted things from the heart, they start getting cleansed. And vidunoti suhursatam, and our aspirations change. Our consciousness gets purified. Now we may be hearing this for a long time. Some years back I was very amused to read. Actually I was reading one book for some service. One management book our devotees had told me to read for some service. So that was written by one lady called Rebecca Merrill. She is writing about how managers have to manage their priorities and different things that they have to do. So in that whole book, she says more than managing so many things, we have to manage our life. And to manage our life, now this is interesting because she is not a devotee. She is not a Hare Krishna devotee. But look at the conclusion she is coming to. So this author writes that people are suffering because they don't know what to do in life. We can know what is the goal of our life if our conscience is pure. Conscience, our inner voice is pure. And that is like a compass that will direct us what to do. But how can our conscience be pure? She says, our conscience can be pure, purified, if we submissively and sincerely hear and read scriptures. I was like, wow. And it's a complete management book. Huh? There is nothing about God or Krishna. And she's emphasizing on studying of scriptures of your respective religion. So I was wondering, what do these people mean by scriptures? You know, because world is very relative. They may. So I saw the appendix. In the appendix, she has given a list of 10 books which are called as scriptures. So the Torah, the Old Testament, Bible, and 3 books which interested me, Bhagavad Gita, Ramayana, and Upanishads. So I was like, yeah. So these karmis also realize the importance of submissively hearing scriptures. So I thought that was quite profound, because we would expect that devotees only know this science of, you know, what the importance of hearing. So even these people realize, but unfortunately, as a devotee, after some years, I may think that I may not find that very attractive to hear the same stories, because Krishna conscious pastimes, what we are hearing, they are all, after some years, we know the whole pastime. We know everything, apparently. So we may be more attracted to new topics, something new. Actually, Krishna consciousness is so simple. This is very simple process. Now, right now, what we are doing, speaking about Bhagavatam and hearing Bhagavatam, right now we are performing yoga, bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga means hearing. One of the 64 items of devotional service is hearing about Krishna. So right now, we are performing yoga for 1.5-2 hours. But because the external activity is so simple, in the sense you just don't have to work hard, we feel that there's nothing exciting happening. But to the extent we are tuned in to hear the message submissively and sincerely, that affects our consciousness. So irrespective of who is giving class, if you have an attitude that I want to submissively hear and grab this message and purify my heart, then it works like medicine. Just like darshan, you know, we don't say, okay, who dressed the deities today? If this devotee has dressed Gopinath, if this devotee has dressed Radharani, I'll come and take darshan. We don't say that. Anybody dresses the deities, we take darshan and we chant happily. Similarly, Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. It's a sound incarnation of Krishna. It's a scriptural. So whoever is speaking Krishna Katha, when we submissively render oral reception, we are actually connecting to Krishna. So hearing helps. So the point is, nothing is new in Krishna consciousness. It's the same process. But after some time, because of the process of purification and because of the offenses that we commit, we may find the process little dry. Especially the process of hearing, we may find little dry. At that time, we have two choices. First choice is to accept that because of my offenses, I'm not attracted to Krishna Katha. I'm finding it boring. This is the first choice. And be humble and then study sincerely. The second choice is, what to do? You know, I'm not getting attracted so much. Let me read something new. So we go for new music, new books, and so many other things, and which may be mentally a little titillating. It may excite us mentally. But we remain, the core of our existence remains dissatisfied. And that can also happen. So the best option is the first choice. Krishna, I'm reading Bhagavatam, but I'm finding it repetitive. I'm finding it kind of boring. Krishna, help me. So when we read like that, Krishna, you please reveal to me what is important for my spiritual life as I'm taking shelter of this Srimad Bhagavatam. Then the process works wonders. Otherwise, if I'm reading with an agenda, okay, I want to prove this point, so let me read Bhagavatam and try to get a quotation for this point. That may be needed for service, but actually when we helplessly take shelter, Krishna, I'm taking shelter of you in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. So then the same purports of Srila Prabhupada appear very nice, very sweet, you know, although they are repetitive, we actually relish it. And we see advanced devotees, they relish speaking the same pastime over and over again. I remember, I may be a little exaggerating, but last 2 years, I was hearing His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj lectures, if you hear, in last 1.5-2 years, he has spoken this milk drinking Brahman pastime at least 10 to 15 times. And not like what, you know, I would speak or some of us would speak. Now, because if I have to speak this pastime to make a point, I would assume that all of you know this pastime. So I would say, so as in the milk drinking Brahmin pastime, we can learn this lesson that our Mahaprabhu doesn't like pride. That's it. That's our description is over. But you know, advanced devotees, so Maharaj will speak, or many other devotees also, they'll speak as if they're speaking it for the first time. And they'll assume that none of us here know, and we'll be hearing also Jagai Madai pastime. And one day, there were two dacoits, and their names are, as if we don't know, you know. And then we're all waiting with bated breath, and then Jagai and Madai. So because they are relishing it internally, for them, ever new, Krishna consciousness is appearing ever new and ever fresh. So we may not have that taste, but those who have that taste, or those who are aspiring to develop that taste, when we hear submissively from them, although we are restless, we want to jump into new things, and we want to do so many things, but when we render that oral reception, because pure devotees, advanced devotees, when they are speaking about the same Krishna pastime, they are actually connected to Krishna. Krishna's holy name and pastimes are not material. They are in the spiritual world. So when pure devotees are reciting them, they are actually importing it from the spiritual world. So when the holy name is being vibrated by the pure devotee, so it's actually Krishna. So when we are connecting to them, when we are hearing from them, we are also getting connected to Krishna, to the same spiritual substance. So that's how we get purified. That's how the process works and changes our aspirations. Kaviraj Goswami describes this consciousness of advanced devotees very beautifully. Krishna kirtana gana nartana kala pato jani bhrajita sadbhaktavali hamsa chakra madupa shrenim vyaraspadam karnanandi kala dvanirvahatume Jivamaru Prangane Sri Chaitanya Dayanidhi Tavalasal Leela Sudaswardhuni. Kaviraj Goswami says, what is Lord's pastimes? Leela, Lord's Leela is Sudaswardhuni. It's like a nectar of Ganges river. Like the nectar of Ganges, it's just flowing. So imagine a beautiful Ganges river is flowing, filled with nectar. So as Lord's pastimes are compared to that nectarine river of Ganges. And the hearing and chanting of Krishna's pastimes, Krishna Kirtana Gana Nartana Kala, Patojani Brajita, these are like lotus flowers in that river. A beautiful river is flowing and there are beautiful lotus flowers in that river. So what? So the lotus flower is a product. It's blooming within that river. Similarly, Lord's pastimes are nectarine, and within those nectarine pastimes, the process of hearing chanting, they are the most beautiful creations which are blooming in this river of Lord's pastimes. And who are attracted to these lotuses? The bumblebees, swans, all these beautiful birds and insects. So, Sad Bhaktavali Hamsa Chakra Madhupa Shrenim Viharaspadam. Who is doing vihar? Who is enjoying these lotus flowers? Bhaktavali. All the devotees are compared to the swans and the bumblebees who are taking nectar from these lotus flowers. So devotees are enjoying the process of hearing and chanting. So when that happens, what is the result? Karna Anandi Kaladvanir Vahatume Jiva Maru Prangane. Just like if a beautiful Ganges river is flowing and there are beautiful lotuses and the bumblebees are taking nectar from those lotuses, what happens? A pleasing sound is created. So that pleasing sound is the Krishna conscious katha, the lectures. That is the katha is the pleasing sound. And jiva maru prangane, and the tongue is compared to a desert. Just like in a desert, if beautiful Ganges river flows, it'll quench all our thirst and hankering. Similarly, when the desert is parched, because it's only filled with dry, lifeless subject matters, that's why it becomes like a desert. So when we put Krishna katha on our desert-like tongue, it's like beautiful Ganges river flowing into a desert. We'll be filled with life. Sri Chaitanya Dayanidhi Tavalasa Leela Sudhaswarduni. So that's how when we hear the Lord's pastimes, we get nourishment. And Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna Katha, when we sincerely hear and we take shelter, then we are able to combat with this anartha. Because Krishna says in the Gita, we need two things to face this, knowledge and detachment. So when we are submissively hearing, we get knowledge. And also because we are getting higher taste, because we will develop attraction for Krishna, that higher taste helps us get detached from material pursuits. So that's how this process works scientifically. And also Srimad Bhagavatam gives many practical ways by which we can combat with this anartha of lust. Like third canto, Mother Devahuti is being instructed by her son Kapila Dev on the beautiful aspects of Krishna's beauty which we can meditate upon to combat with this anartha. Hasam hare ravanata khilaloka tivra shoka shrusagara vishoshanamatyudharam sammohanaya rachitam nijamaya yasya brumandala munikrite makaradvajasya. Lord Kapila Dev is saying that we can face this anartha by meditating on the smile of Krishna. Hasam harer. If you can remember the smile of Krishna or meditate on this form. And then what will happen? Shokashru sagara. Our lamentation in this life, in this world, we are so much filled with lamentation and worry. The shoka ashru, the tears of our lamentation can form an ocean. Shokashru sagara. But this sagar, vishoshanam, this ocean of tears of a human being can dry up immediately if you remember the beautiful, enchanting smile of Krishna. And then, sammohanaya rachitam nijamaya yasya. So we can actually withhold the attacks of maya. And then one more thing, not just the smile of Krishna. Brumandala munikrite makaradvajasya. Brumandala means the eyebrows of Krishna. Krishna has beautiful eyebrows. So if you can meditate on the curved eyebrows of Krishna, the smile of Krishna, then makaradvaja, the Cupid's arrows will not harm a sadhaka. So like this beautifully Kapila Dev describes. The next verse also he gives one more way of how to meditate upon Krishna. Dhyanayanam prahasitam bahuladaroshtha bhasarunaita tanu dvijakunda pankti dhyayet svadeha kuhare vasitasya vishnur bhaktyar drayar pitamana na pratagdhidrikshet. He says, okay, after you meditate on the smile of Krishna, then you meditate on Krishna's eyebrows, then you meditate on Krishna's laughter. I'm just repeating Bhagavatam. Dhyanayanam prahasit. And then you'll see Krishna's beautiful white teeth, which are dazzling, you know, like pearls. So that will help you overcome the lusty attacks. And like this, so when you meditate on the Lord Vishnu's beautiful form, Lord Krishna's beautiful form, we can combat with this. So this is not simply So these things are also there in Bhagavatam. You know, some people may say, hearing about Krishna, but what is practical? There are practical methods also given to face this anartha. And this is described by Prabhupada very beautifully in one purport, in 18th chapter, this famous verse, Bhaktyamam Abhijanati Yavanashashmitatva. In this verse, purport 18.55, here Srila Prabhupada writes a very nice point, how by simply hearing about Krishna's beauty, Krishna Katha, lust and greed will disappear from the heart. And he analyzes it. He says, how it will happen? He says, when we are actually hearing about Krishna sincerely, then in the heart, an attraction to serve Krishna will increase. And because of that attraction to serve Krishna, and when we serve Krishna, our heart will become free from contamination. So that's how our heart gets free from the contamination. So hearing about Krishna and rendering service. But of course, it's very important to be hearing from bona fide sources. If you're hearing from bona fide sources, Sukadeva Goswami says, if you're hearing from bona fide sources in a submissive mood with faith, then even hearing about Krishna's conjugal pastimes can purify. Vikriditam rajavadu biridam cha vishnu shraddhanvito nushrunya datavarna edya bhaktim param bhagavati pratilabhya kamam rudrogamashvapahinoti achirena dhira. Sukadeva Goswami is describing Krishna's pastime with the gopis. And there he is saying, Vikriditam Vrajavadu Biridam Cha Vishnu. This pastime, if you hear, Shraddhanvita, with faith, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I want to purify my heart. With this faith, if you are hearing, then Bhaktim Param Bhagavati Pratilabhya Kamam. Bhakti will develop in the heart, and kam, and lust. Ridroga, lust is kama, is compared to ridroga, the disease of the heart. Ridrogam ashva apahinoti achirena dhira. Very soon, one will become sober. Dhira, one will become sober and become freed from this lust. So this is there in the scriptures. And when we are reading nonsense kind of literatures, then our lust increases. But when we are hearing about Krishna's beautiful pastimes, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, then we become purified. Srila Prabhupada would see in Paris, he mentions this in one lecture, that he saw in Paris old men who were millionaires entering a bar, nightclub, to watch women dancing. So he was saying that how they're not satisfied, they're millionaires, they have a lot of wealth. But because this Hridroga, the heart is afflicted with this disease of lust, they're not satisfied, they're not peaceful. But Bhagavatam says you'll become Dhira, you'll become purified and peaceful if you're hearing from bona fide sources. So that is a point that devotees may also struggle, but because a devotee is sincerely hearing, there is what is called as rasa, mellow, attraction for Krishna develops, and that rasa makes the discrimination sharper. It helps us understand, it gives us the tools to fight this anartha. Okay, I don't want this. I don't want this. This desire comes. How does this practically work? Like for example, a sincere devotee is constantly hearing about Krishna and is actually attracted to come for class, hear about Krishna and study scriptures. Then when he sees a sense object, and he may be attracted, he may be bewildered, but then because of this service of sincere hearing about Krishna, Krishna reminds him what he has studied and what he has heard. Puna puna charvita charvunanam adanta gobir vishtam tamishram. Oh, I've heard, I've read that puna puna charvita. This is chewing the chewed. Just like if somebody is chewing the chewing gum for 2 hours and then he spits it out. And imagine somebody else comes and takes that chewing gum and then again chews it. Disgusting. So a devotee starts thinking like this, oh, this is disgusting. But I'm attracted, Krishna, but you have told this in the Bhagavatam. So please remove me from this desire. So that aspiration is developed. That discrimination becomes sharper. So he's able to see. He's able to see through the eyes of scriptures. Pumsa striya mituni bhava metad tayor mito hridaya grantimahu atagraha kshetra sutapta vittir janasya mohoya maham mameti. So devotee remembers Rishabhdev's instruction that this attraction between man and woman is Pumsa Astriya Mituni Bhava Metat. It binds the heart with lust, and then attachment to so many things increases, and this is moha, this is illusion. So basically a devotee understands through practice of sadhana bhakti that I don't want this, I want to serve Krishna. Atmendriya Priti Vancha Tarabole Kam Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dare Premanam. So a devotee understands that, oh, this is for my pleasure. that means this is lust, atmendriya priti vancha. But I want to satisfy Krishna's senses, and that is love. Krishnendriya priti icha dare prema nam. So that's how a devotee develops purified consciousness and he changes his aspiration. Srila Prabhupada also was very practical. He would many times help his devotees struggle with his anartha. Like sometimes some devotee would come and say, Prabhupada, I'm really struggling with this. And Prabhupada would tell them to attend morning program sincerely. Like one devotee wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada saying that, Prabhupada, I'm struggling with this anartha. Prabhupada said, come for morning program every day. And then Prabhupada said, in that letter Prabhupada writes, if you attend morning program every day, then Krishna will kick away Mr. Lust, Mr. Lust's father and Mr. Lust's grandfather also. A very sweet letter, you know. Prabhupada is empathizing with the struggle of a sincere devotee. One devotee in 1968 in San Francisco, he was Prabhupada's servant, and in the night he would jump out of his window and go and meet his girlfriend. And Prabhupada would come to know that he is not actually following the principles. So then Prabhupada asked him once, he said, so do you know the four regulative principles? And he said, yes, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, so are you following them? He said, I have difficulty with one. So everything Prabhupada knew. So Prabhupada said, which one? And he said, Prabhupada, no meat eating. So Prabhupada laughed and walked away because Prabhupada knew what he was struggling with. So then he understood that Prabhupada knows my heart. So he came and said, Prabhupada, actually this is my struggle. So shall I get married? And Prabhupada immediately said, marriage is not a solution for lust and you are too young. So Prabhupada was so practical. You know, Prabhupada just didn't say that, okay, if you are lusty, do this. No, Prabhupada said, okay, you are young, you are afflicted by this lust. So Prabhupada gave him something very practical. He said, you stay away from rich food. You know, eat non-spice dal, eat chapatis without ghee, and eat starvishly. And then he was actually at that time not Prabhupada's servant. He was just one of the devotees living in the temple. So Prabhupada told him, you become my personal servant. So then Prabhupada made him his personal servant so that he can get association and get purified. So Prabhupada was aware of this struggle of all the devotees with this anartha. And Brahmanand Prabhu says, when he came first time to meet Prabhupada, he thought Srila Prabhupada he was thinking Prabhupada will dismiss his theory, because he gave one theory of one very famous psychologist who said that in material world everything is happening because of sex life. So when he told Prabhupada, he expected Prabhupada to dismiss it. All this is nonsense theory, materialistic people like that. But when he told Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada immediately said, yes, he is right. So Brahmanand Prabhu was shocked. Prabhupada said, yeah, everybody is attracted by sex life. Very, very matter-of-factly Prabhupada said that. And there is one lecture where one yoga student is sitting in Prabhupada's class and he says, Swamiji, your philosophy is very nice, but sometimes I'm troubled by sex life. Prabhupada looked at him. Sometimes? And then Prabhupada said, you are troubled by sex life? What to speak of you? Birds, animals, and even demigods, everybody is afflicted by this. So that yoga student was shaken. Prabhupada said, even demigods are suffering because of this. And we know, we are reading Bhagavatam, the ninth canto is going on. In the previous chapters we read, the most messy, complicated life of Soma, how he got entangled, because he got attracted to his guru's wife, Brihaspati's wife, and then he kidnapped her, and then Brihaspati told him to return her, and he was refusing, and then there was a big fight between the demigods and the demons. So many people got involved just because of one person's lust. So such complications can arise. So even in the demigod world, this can happen. So then in that conversation with that yoga student, Srila Prabhupada is not heavy with that person. Srila Prabhupada actually consoles him by saying, so my suggestion to you is, please pray to Krishna. Prabhupada says in that conversation that Maya is very attractive, but Krishna is more attractive than Maya. Please pray to Krishna. And then if you pray to Krishna, even though you will be afflicted by this, you will not want it. Yamunacharya is classic case, you know. He chants this beautiful prayer. Yad avadi mama cheta Krishna padara vinde Navanava rasa dhamni udyatam rantum asit tad avadi batanari sangame smaryamane bhavati mukavikara shushtu vanamcha. That now because I am attracted to Krishna's pastimes, my lips curl in distaste. I spit at the thought of this lusty activities. So coming back to this point about hearing about Krishna, so we have to constantly hear about Krishna and aspire to get rid of this desire and also have a desire to serve. So when we are serving constantly, this passion gets burnt. So a lot of services are there in Srila Prabhupada's mission. Srila Prabhupada is expert in engaging the devotees and allow that passion to get burnt. He would tell devotees that, what is the use of your being Americans if you can't do something spectacular for Krishna? So that would excite them and they would do. Srila Prabhupada would be hearing book distribution scores, he would be happy and he would say, now double it for Krishna. So Burijan Prabhupada is saying, so as sadhakas, we may be doing a lot of service and still we may feel that this anartha is afflicting me. That means, and we may say, Prabhupada said double it. Prabhupada said, do something spectacular for Krishna. So I'm doing so much passionate activity, but still the lust is afflicting me. It's not getting burnt. So Burijan Prabhupada said, that is because we are not taking Prabhupada's complete sentence. Prabhupada said, double it for Krishna. That for Krishna we are forgetting. And we focus on doubling book distribution. And then he says, we say, so you do something spectacular for Krishna. So that for Krishna aspect has to be always there. So that is the meaning of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, the aham mameti, you know, instead of for Krishna, I may do it for myself. And that enjoyment propensity gets more and more, it gets more and more inflated. So this is the main theme which I wanted to share with all of you today, that we have to constantly hear about Krishna and cultivate a service attitude. And as we are cultivating this, we have to also avoid sincerely subject matters which increase our material propensities. So, on the one hand, a devotee is sincerely hearing Bhagavatam, studying scriptures, chanting the holy name, doing service, and very diligently, simultaneously, he avoids literatures and sources which are going to distract him from Krishna. Which means, in simple words, newspapers, you know, media, television, sports. Otherwise, it's like lighting fire of Krishna consciousness and putting water on it. So all these subject matters come under the category of prajalpa. And prajalpa, when a devotee, sincere devotee engages in prajalpa, that takes away, steals away all the propensity to serve Krishna. Raghunath Das Goswami, in his Mana Shiksha, he compares he compares prajalpa, reading all mundane things and watching mundane things on television, he compares that to a prostitute. He says prajalpa means prostitute. So Sachinandan Maharaj in one seminar was analyzing this analogy little graphically. He was saying, who is a prostitute? He says prostitute is somebody who appears very attractive and charms your heart and promises you pleasure. And you actually get pleasure. But is that pleasure free? And secondly, is that pleasure everlasting? So Satyananda Maharaj is saying, there are two problems with the pleasure offered by a prostitute. First is, it's a fleeting pleasure. It's over in a few seconds, few minutes. And second thing is, she's more than giving you pleasure, she's interested in all the money that you have in your pocket. So then Maharaj was analyzing it. He says, similarly, when we are watching mundane things on television and reading mundane literatures, so it's like a prostitute, because that may give little pleasure. But in the process, our money, what is our money? What is a devotee's money? His taste for hearing, chanting, which he has cultivated through hard struggle and devotional service, he has developed some attraction. So that taste is the wealth in our pocket or in our heart. So she steals away, prajalpa steals away that. So that's why he was asking a simple question. How can you know you have done prajalpa? How can you know that you have engaged in reading or hearing or watching something which is not healthy? He says, you ask yourself, what is your consciousness after you have done that? He says, do you feel very inspired to read Bhagavatam? That means, if you are feeling dull and dry and not inspired to hear or chant after that event, that means that event was prajalpa. Because that has sucked your consciousness. The prostitute of prajalpa has taken your wealth. And he says, the most expensive of all prostitutes is Vaishnava Parad. Prajalpa, when we are discussing bad things about Vaishnavas, he said she takes away all your wealth. Everything is taken away. So you are completely bereft of all spiritual credits. So like that. So we have to take stock and we have to judiciously avoid subject matters which are distracting us from Krishna consciousness. This is a struggle, as I began today's class, that it's easy to speak on this subject matter, but it's a struggle. And I remember in that Bhagavatam class, on that fateful day of the World Cup match on Saturday, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj made this statement. He said, if India wins this match, I will be less sad. What does that mean? That means he's sad that, he also said it's a waste of time. You know, because a devotee knows that it's a waste of time. It is distracting us from Krishna. And in that World Cup finals in 2003, we had a Sunday feast class. On a Sunday, India was playing a World Cup final. And he was giving Sunday feast class here. And the temple was half filled. And Maharaj began the class by saying, one very, very advanced and informed, highly informed devotee has told me that today is a very auspicious day. He began the Sunday feast class like that. And I can see that most people have not come today. So to celebrate this auspicious occasion, we'll sing one bhajan. And for 45 minutes, I remember he sang this bhajan. Kali kukura kadana jadi chao he, Kali yuga pavan kali vaya nashan, Sri Sachinandana gao. And that theme of that whole class was the dog of Kali is barking. And then he explained how, he said, cricket is an innocent sport. If I have nothing against cricket, cricket is an innocent sport. But when so much money is involved, it becomes an instrument in the hands of Kali. So it's Kali is in action. And we could see Kali was in full action. All the four regulative principles were being broken that night and what was happening in the society. So we are not criticizing or we don't have anything against anyone. But as sadhakas, we have to judiciously, carefully avoid sangha, which takes us away from Krishna. And work hard and pray to Krishna to relieve us from this anartha. So to summarize, to conclude today's class, basically we addressed the point about Yayati's frustration with material life of sense gratification. And we discussed how the whole world is charmed by this lust and afflicted by it. And the solution for a devotee, even though a devotee may be struggling, solution is to change his aspirations, change his desire for not wanting to have that anartha. And how can we develop that pure aspiration? We can develop a pure aspiration by a culture of hearing about Krishna, chanting the holy names, and rendering sincere service. And then we discussed through Bhagavatam verses, how when we are hearing about Krishna, there are verses in Bhagavatam which says, the lust disappears from the heart. And there are also descriptions of Krishna's beauty, which a person can meditate upon to overcome his lust. And then we discussed how Krishna Katha can fill the heart with so much joy and change our aspiration. And we also discussed about the service attitude. And then finally, we discussed about how we should also aspire, we should also avoid literatures and subject matters which distract us from Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? And yes, Anandamun.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for a wonderful class. We face this problem in a very practical way, that we know it, that sense gratification is dangerous. It disturbs your Krishna consciousness. And we take a taste of hearing and chanting, and we understand that the aim and goal of life is pure devotional service. But as you said, the aspiration should be very high. And when the aspiration is very high, and if you get carried away with your sense gratification, Krishna takes care of you and Krishna will protect you. But there should be some checking point in our life, that on one side we are having a good aspiration, other side we are not able to leave our sense gratification also. On one side, aspiration is very high. We want to go back home, back to Godhead. Pure devotional service is our goal of life. We don't want to have anything in between. This type of a highest aspiration, we keep it in our life. But on the other hand, we are not able to leave our sense gratification also. And sometimes that guilt is there, that it's like a talking business in my life. I am having such a big aspiration, but my standard is very low. And it's not going out from my heart also. So how to a devotee can go on checking himself, that although that aspiration is there, at the same time he is also serious and sincere in Krishna consciousness, and he is really advancing in Krishna consciousness, or he is not doing having a talking business in Krishna, in front of Krishna.
on the one hand, a devotee has to, that guilt is purifying, actually. If a devotee is sincerely repentant that I am talking big things, but I am myself struggling with this anartha, that repentance, that guilt is purifying, and it burns away our reactions also. At the same time, you are right also in saying that if we keep only talking business, then we can't actually please Krishna. So there is something we have to do. We have to break that from our side. It's up, of course, up to Krishna to give his mercy and help us get taste. Taste is not in our hand. The one most critical factor that can help us advance in spiritual life, that one overwhelming factor is Krishna's mercy. And that is causeless. That's not in our hand. But there is something that is in our hand that we can always do. So that is like, one is having aspiration. And second is constantly doing honest self-introspection and not playing a larger-than-life image, being honest about our shortcomings and confessing it to some senior devotee who can help us if the problem is repetitive. And at the same time, we have to also overcome our weakness of the heart. Hridaya dorbalyam tektvo tishta parantapa. So we have to give up that hridaya dorbalyam, that weakness of the heart, because of which, despite repeated claiming that I want pure devotional service, we are again going back, sliding downwards. So that is weakness of the heart. And then we have to struggle to fight it with the help of other devotees. Confess our heart, reveal our hearts in confidence. Dadati pratigrinnati guhyam akhyati. And then with their guidance, actually overcome. And it also, facing our own anarthas is one sense Krishna's way of humbling us, keeping us humble and making us know that, oh, I'm talking big things, but see Krishna, you know what I am. So Krishna shows us the mirror many times, that Prabhu, you think you're very advanced, please see yourself, you know. So, and actually it requires some advancement in spiritual life to know that you are these anarthas. Actually that also requires some purification. Initially I'm going to reach Nishtha in 2011, then Ruchi in 2013, and pure devotee by 2020. So, and many times we feel, oh, I have no anartha. I have anarthas, we may say also, but we feel, oh, only lust is anartha. I don't think, other than lust, I don't envy anyone. It requires some purification, it requires some process of chanting, hearing for some years, some time, and then actually a devotee actually feels, I am envious. To actually feel that I have anartha, I have desire for sense gratification, that is actually Krishna's mercy. The ability to see our anarthas is also Krishna's mercy. So we should be grateful. Thank you, Krishna, for revealing it to me. Radha Gopinath Prabhu very beautifully always says, what is mercy? Now, many times we say, I want mercy. Mercy means Krishna showing us who we actually are. That is mercy. So if you know that, I'm talking only big things and I am actually not a sincere devotee. So that realization is mercy, actually. So that will keep us humble. That will help us become more and more sincere.
Prabhu, sometimes it might be becoming a routine. We go on talking for years and years and years. I need shelter, I am fallen and everything. At the same time, the anarthas process is also going on and on and on. And sometimes the years are going by in your Krishna consciousness. And when you find out in your life, and you see that nothing specific change has taken place, death is coming nearer, years
are going by. Then we have to practice utsaha, nishchaya, dhairya. We have to know patience. See, all three things have to go on. See, if you have utsaha, enthusiasm, only enthusiasm, I want to become pure devotee, I want to become free of this. Enthusiasm, only enthusiasm, that is mode of passion. And sometimes we may be very patient. Oh, I can't become pure devotee overnight. So many times we have heard, it will take years. So relax. So you are very patient. So when you are very patient, we slip into mode of ignorance. Tamogun, you know. That is tamogun. So utsaha, nishchaya, there has to be dhairya. There has to be confidence in Krishna. And we have to have both. Utsaha and nishchaya, patience. So when you are feeling very hopeless after so many years, this is there, then practice patience. Tolerate. Krishna has said, be patient. And then when you are feeling, I am too complacent, oh, utsaha, you know, Krishna, I want to become free of this. So we have to balance utsaha and patience and enthusiasm with confidence in Krishna. That Krishna factor has to be there. Otherwise, we'll be on a mental platform, you know. We'll keep swinging. Because Krishna consciousness can really make us hopeless at some time during the anartha nivritti phase. Because after years, you may feel, I am practicing for so many years and still anarthas are there. So it's a vast intermediate zone, as Saswarup Maharaj calls it. You know, it's a long phase. So we have to have patience, utsaha. So we have to carry on like that. Only then we can survive this phase. And even if you are afflicted till the last moment, Krishna will take care. I remember the same question was asked once by Vishwarup Prabhu to His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, that Maharaj, I am chanting for last 25 years and still I have no taste for holy name. So what does this mean? So Maharaj gave a very hopeful answer. He said, if Krishna wants, he can give you taste tomorrow morning. When you are chanting, you can get taste. But if Krishna doesn't want, he will never give you taste. But because you are a sincere devotee, even if Krishna doesn't give you taste at all, be assured that if you sincerely keep chanting, although you have no taste, keep chanting. Just when you are about to die, just when you are leaving your body, that moment Krishna will come and give you all the taste. And then you will say, Krishna, thank you, and you will go back to God. So now Krishna is testing. You know, are you willing to fight for it? Are you willing to struggle for this test? Are you willing to be loyal to Krishna and faithful to Krishna, although you're not experiencing apparent so-called reciprocation from Krishna? Actually, Krishna is reciprocating. The fact that you're able to come every day for Mangalarati, morning program, Japa, and you're hearing Bhagavatam, and you have such good Sangha of devotees, means Krishna is reciprocating with you. The fact that you're doing wonderful service is Krishna's reciprocation. But still, let us say, you want more, Krishna will reciprocate at the right time. So, Krishna is very merciful. This is explained in the first canto by Prabhupada, in a very nice purport, where how devotees are very merciful through, you know, the fact that we are engaging in service of Krishna, like you are engaged in so many projects, so many services, that is a proof that Krishna is taking care of us. He is keeping us protected. In the first canto of purport, Prabhupada writes how Agni was, not Agni, I think Mayadhana was running. Krishna was wanting to kill him. So he saw Krishna is about to kill me with chakra. So he turned back to run, and there was Agni there standing to devour him. So Prabhupada writes in this purport, first canto, how Mayadhana was bewildered. So Krishna is about to kill him, and there Agni is about to devour him. So what did he do? He saw Arjuna standing on the side. He ran to Arjuna and fell at Arjuna's feet. So Arjuna said, I promise you nothing will happen. So Krishna immediately withdrew his chakra. And Agnidev saw, Arjuna has gone to Arjuna and Arjuna is with Krishna. So he also withdrew. So Prabhupada writes there, Krishna would have killed Mayadhana. Agnidev would have devoured him. But because of a devotee, Arjuna, he was saved. And then after he was saved, Krishna told Mayadhanam. So Mayadhanam told Krishna that, thank you very much for saving me. I want to serve you. So Krishna said, I don't need anything from you. And even to Arjuna. Arjuna said, I also don't want anything. So then Krishna told Mayadhanam, see, you are saved by Arjuna. So you build a nice palace for Arjuna, Pandavas. So then Mayadhanam got a chance to serve Pandavas. So Prabhupada analyzes this pastime and he writes, very nice. He says, we are going to be killed by Krishna's Kala Chakra. Anyway, you know, we are going to go through. And there is the fire of this material existence which is burning us. So we are going to be finished. We have no hope. Our hope is representative of Arjuna, a devotee. So just like a devotee, by devotee's shelter, Dana, Mayadhana was protected. Similarly, by getting shelter of a devotee, we are protected from the material existence. And just like Mayadhana got service to a devotee by Krishna's mercy. Similarly, by Krishna's mercy, we are getting a chance to serve devotees. So, two things Prabhupada says. First is, by devotee's mercy, we are saved. And then by Krishna's mercy, by devotee's mercy, we get Krishna's protection, Prabhupada says. And then by Krishna's mercy, we get a chance to serve the devotees. This is a classic example of Mayadhana. Similarly, so we have been saved, we have got Krishna by the mercy of devotees. Krishna's protection with the mercy. And now Krishna's mercy upon us is what? He has given a service to devotees. So that is a very... So Krishna is reciprocating right now with us. We just have to be grateful and grab this mercy. Okay? Thank you, Prabhu. Actually, you know better. Maybe other Gopinath Prabhu. So, can correct. Hare Krishna. Prabhuji had raised his hand first. Can I take his question? Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhu. Prabhuji, you told about the prajalpa and then all will take us from the our test and like a prostitute. When it may not the problem was with me, but when we suppose go to the homes or some actually home only, our mother, they're not devotees. Then we have to associate with them, and then family problems, and then lamentation mode comes. And because of their lamentation, I go in the sad mood, and then by nature we want, and then there's no association of devotees. They're not tasting that. And by nature, I want some enjoyment. And then already I'm in the higher phase. But when I went for a month for vacation in the home, and I have to listen to the family problems, all those things. And sometimes mother chants, sometimes she doesn't chant. Sometimes say, what are the Vedas? Sometimes they blaspheme the Vedas. Sometimes she chants. And then it is again the Vaishnava, what do you call that? 10 offenses comes in chanting. And then sometimes she is sentimental and she blasphemes devotees also. And sometimes she appreciates devotees also. So what is this? Means whether should we hear that and we put our ears, what do you call, thumbs in your ears, and then no, it is a Vaishnava prat something else. But we should, how we deal it. And same time, because of this, over a period of time, takes our own test also. This handling with us only, it's simple, but handling with all members, it becomes difficult. How to handle this situation?
So when we go home, this is one of the common problems devotees face, that we may be studying, practicing sincerely in hostel and devotees, but then when we go home, so we have to aspire. See, again, if you are sincerely praying to Krishna, Krishna, this situation is detrimental to my devotional service, then Krishna will arrange a situation in your life. He controls all situations. He'll arrange a situation in your life where you don't have to go through this, if it's not conducive for your devotional service. And also, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given us a formula. What is surrender to Krishna? Anukulasya sankalpa pratikulasya varjanam. Accepting that which is favorable to Krishna consciousness and rejecting that which is unfavorable. So if something is unfavorable, we have to reject that. So we have to, in that is surrender to Krishna. But if we cannot actually give up certain things because of certain pressure, we can at least pray to Krishna sincerely. Then Krishna will interfere and he will arrange situations in our life in such a way that you will be out of it. There was one devotee, sincere person, he was working in a liquor bar. And he came, Radha Gopinath Prabhu, you were telling this story, how he came to Radha Gopinath Prabhu after the Gita Kurji. He said, I cannot avoid this because I need money and I don't have any other job. So I am working in a liquor bar and this is breaking the regulative principle and I just can't avoid it. So he was really crying. So Radha Gopinath Prabhu said, yeah, you be desperate for Krishna's mercy, you pray. And then Krishna reciprocated. And then Krishna reciprocated, Krishna put him in a situation where he could overcome it. Now, for example, you are struggling at home to chant and hear because there is so much distractions, television. So this is the test. So let us say when you are not in that association, when you are in association of devotees, when you are in your hostel or room alone, how much are you reading Krishna Katha? How much are you hearing? So Krishna sees. Krishna is actually controlling time. And it's time of our life also. So Krishna sees, oh, this person, I have not given him any time, free time. I have given him only hellish situations. I have put him in a situation where he is exposed to all materialistic things. He has no time for anything. But still, look at him. He is so sincere. He is taking out that some time and reading. Oh, he is taking out some time to chant. So whatever little time you have, in that when you use it for Krishna's service, then Krishna becomes pleased and says, oh, he has the adhikar now. He deserves more time to hear and chant about me. So Krishna will intervene in your life and arrange more time. I remember when I joined the temple, I would read Bhagavatam and I would think I have to read a lot of Prabhupada and I would read and I would fall asleep. So then I was saying, but why? And then one devotee said, that is because, you know, you are in mode of passion. This is pure goodness. And, you know, it's incompatible. You are falling asleep. So then I was saying that, but, you know, I want time to read. I've got so much service. And at one point of time I was saying, for this devotee said a very nice answer. He said the same thing. He said, when you have time, what do? When you have time, if you are at that time reading, you have no time, but still you are reading for 15 minutes, half an hour. But then Krishna sees, oh, he's sincere, so he gives you more time. Similarly, now you are in a situation where it's impossible to practice devotional service, but you are somehow doing, somehow chanting, going to the terrace, going out, doing so many things. So Krishna is seeing that in such a tough situation, he's somehow struggling and making the best use of a bad bargain, then Krishna will certainly arrange. We should have that faith in Krishna. But our sincerity, we cannot give an excuse for a lower standard, saying that what to do, you know, Krishna, you put me in this situation and look at this, and so let me give in. So Krishna is seeing the sincerity.
How to deal with lamentation of others, Prabhu?
The situation. It may be possible, but lamentation that goes inside the heart and that creates the situation while chanting also.
Yeah, you should transcend it, detach. And those people who are lamenting on the bodily level. It's a struggle. See, there is Krishna consciousness, there is no formula. You can't say that, okay, I have one formula and I'll have no problem. That is purified. Otherwise, how will you get purified, you know? Let us say you have a formula on how to overcome lamentation, how to overcome this, everything. Pakka sab likhe rakh liya, everything is right, ready. Then how will you get purified? So all of us have to go through a unique, Krishna has a unique purification plan for each one of us. So I may share with you some techniques, you know, and then you may have all those techniques, but Krishna will come with something else, you know, some other purification. Who are saying this? Isolina Radhana Swami Maharaj was saying once that quote, very beautiful, you know, he is saying that Krishna is a tailor, expert tailor. Krishna has stitched a coat. What is this coat compared to? Coat is compared to purification. So Krishna is an expert tailor who has stitched the coat of purification. But this coat, it's not that you are wearing that coat, I'll also wear that coat tomorrow. Krishna says he has stitched a unique coat for each person. So every person's coat is different from the other person's coat. So Krishna is an expert tailor. So your coat of purification you are wearing right now, you know, so that you have to go through. I may share some technique, and I have to go through my, you know, I have to combat with my anarthas. And one of the biggest purification for us is to speak on a subject matter with which we are ourselves struggling. And to give and especially when we speak on chanting or something, it may appear to the audience that, oh, you are really chanting well or you are free from this anartha. So that is our struggle, you know, to face an anartha with which we are to speak about something when we are ourselves struggling. So similarly, you are also going through purification. Let us all go through this purification, remembering Krishna and thanking Krishna.
Thank you.
Haribol.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. My name is Anand. I work with a multinational bank. As you just mentioned, we need to avoid mundane things like media, sports, and all these things. But in the material world, it becomes very difficult to strike a balance, because once we go out to our normal routine, we need to face these things, and we need to hear about these things. And even though we may not like it, but we are compelled to do it. So how to strike a balance and ensure that we don't get corrupted by these influences?
Yeah, this is a challenge. Balance is each devotee's individual struggle. Now, Burijan Prabhu gives a nice example. He says, balance is not that you are going, you know, like he said, he gave an example of a person walking on a tightrope walk. There is a rope connected to one terrace and the other building's terrace, and you have to walk on that rope. So balance does not mean you are walking peacefully like this. He says, you are walking and you may be tilting towards one side, and then you are struggling, and then you come on this side. And then as you are going down, then you again come this side. So like that, balance means maybe, so as you are doing a devotional service, you may feel, oh, I'm getting too involved in materialistic, I have to fight. So you come back, do hearing, chanting. And then when you're working in the office, again, the energy keeps pulling you and you have to keep coming back. So that struggle, just like, you know, when you churn butter, so that struggle is churning your heart, and it will fill your heart with deep realizations and sincere aspirations. So that balance is each devotee's unique struggle. It's not that balance means everything. We have this conception that balance means smooth. You know, everything. I get up, I chant, I read, and everything will go. Krishna will not allow us to go back to Godhead so easily. You know, with a smooth. It's not that. So there will be ups and downs, and just hold. We have to hold on to Krishna with all this. So I agree. With the people working outside, it's a challenge, especially the bombardment in the office. So you have to. You have to become daksha, you have to become expert.
Yeah, what happens is they emphasize on growth, and they emphasize on career aspirations, making more money, more growth for the organization. So it's all in a mode of passion all the time.
So that's why we can get ourselves charged, you know. We can come more often to temple or have some sangha in your local area. You can have counselors meeting. Jai Shri Shraddha Gopinath Nitai Gaur Chandra Shri Gopal Ji Ki Jai. So, you know, wherever your local counseling program or mentors program, such sangha, you can take that sangha very seriously. Just like an electric, you know, just like you have an iPod or a electric device which needs to be charged. You have to come and get charged. And then as you feel you are getting drained out and this thing is overwhelming you, then you come back and again charge yourself in the association of devotees and then again fight it out. So, it's a pretty tough place, we all agree. So that's why you're glorious, you know, struggling outside and still you want to practice sincerely.
Hare Krishna.
We'll stop here, it's 10 o'clock. Thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande. Jai.